were hearings of the new Senate Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight, which launched back in January. It's part of the Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee, headed up by Claire McCaskill, the Democrat from Missouri, who's a good buddy of President Obama and a former state auditor herself. So she's made it her mission ever since she got to the Senate a few years ago to really start focusing in on waste, fraud, and abuse issues. And she told reporters that when she got to the Senate and started looking at this stuff, all she kept running into were issues with ANCs, Alaska Native Corporations. And so she finally decided it was time to at least have some kind of public airing of the issue, talk a little bit about it, and see if there's any way that Congress should reconsider the program.
And just for people who may not understand what ANCs are, Alaska Native Corporations are essentially, they're 8As on steroids. They're small businesses, but they get you check off all sorts of requirements, and they don't, the big thing that is fairly controversial is they you can sole source to them.
Absolutely. That is the big issue, is that, you know, any contract of any size, any price tag really gets to these companies that are 8As, and you know, other minority small business groups, other contracting oversight groups have complained for years that this is really, you know, an unfair business practice and something that has been exploited by these companies, especially since 9/11, because most of these contracts are with Homeland Security and the Department of Defense.
And so we're a lot of give us a sense as to what the tone of the questions was. There sort of a did you get any sense? Could you read any tea leaves?
You absolutely can be tea leaves. Let's remember that Ted Stevens, the former senior senator from Alaska who used to head up the Appropriations Committee, is no longer in office.
And who created ANCs. This
exactly. And not only did he create ANCs, but he really held the purse strings of the Senate. And so, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a lawmaker who was going to cross Ted Stevens in any way. And now he's gone, and, you know, McCaskill suddenly decides to hold this hearing. And I asked her, I said, are you doing this partly because he's no longer around? And she, you know, dodged that and said, absolutely not, I would have done it anyway. But I think it's pretty clear that, you know, Stevens no longer not being there and two more junior lawmakers now in place, Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich, there's much more of an appetite to go after this stuff. It was an interesting hearing. She brought in representatives of the Small Business Administration and the Defense Department who deal with contracting and acquisition issues. They actually weren't able to provide as many details as lawmakers were looking for. And what was interesting is you had McCaskill there from Missouri, Susan Collins, the ranking Republican from Maine, and then you suddenly had five lawmakers from out west show up from the states of Montana, Hawaii, and Alaska, which of course have large native populations, many of whom run 8As that benefit from this, you know, not just Alaska Native corporations, but Hawaiian Native ones and Indian tribes who have 8As as well. And so they all showed up and expressed some at least tepid support for the program. And certainly in the case of the Alaska lawmakers, it was pretty obvious, at least in their facial expressions and what they had to say, that they're a bit nervous that, you know, their colleagues are not going to start looking into what has really been a loophole enjoyed by what were originally supposed to be small companies that would graduate out of the program and then succeed on their own as sort of a normally classified business.
And you and I were talking about this actually at the Gov Summer of Gov event, but there were a lot of ANCs actually there attending.
I was, yes. In fact, you know, if anyone who has any familiarity with that committee, the Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee, or any of their subcommittees, you're lucky to get maybe 15 people to sit in the chairs. This one had standing room only, and many people in attendance had flown in from Alaska in hopes of, you know, making their case and sort of visually demonstrating to McCaskill and any other skeptics that this was a very important program to them. And I think there was a lot of eagerness on their part to finally have a discussion about the program and sort of clarify it to lawmakers who aren't familiar with it. But I also think a lot of it is that, you know, the companies and perhaps by Washington standards, their lobbyists, are certainly very concerned that some of this business may be going by the wayside in the coming years.
And was there somebody there who could sort of defend these programs? We had a guy from a industry group that represents these organizations, the ANCs.
There were definitely, you know, there was a whole panel of defenders from various Alaska Native contracting groups who made it very clear. He said, this is a government program that the federal government got right when it comes to Native populations, and to think that it's now going to get, you know, changed, canceled, or they're just completely restructured is unfathomable to them. They say, look, you know, we don't think there's any equity until, you know, the roads are paved, the water's running, and the schools have been built in our neighborhoods up in very remote sections of Alaska. And until that happens, and as these companies help make that possible, there should be no conversation really about changing this at all. You know, don't focus on what has been a very small percentage of the total federal contracting pie. you know, we're willing to talk about making some changes or, you know, more oversight, but please don't do anything to touch these programs and really fundamentally change them.
I think the big concern often is about the no bid aspect, but also that sometimes the Alaska Native almost becomes, to use a crude phrase, a front for other companies that aren't really, the money doesn't actually get to the Alaska Natives, where the hope is, yes, we want to help those people, but is the money really getting to them?
Exactly. And you know, the study that the Casco staff put out yesterday suggested that on average, shareholders that are Alaska Natives get about $615 back a year, even though some of these contracts are worth, you know, eight, nine figures in some cases, and much more than that. And, you know, the companies argue, look, you know, we're putting money back in through internship programs and scholarship programs and civic organizations, but if you look at the numbers, not only are shareholders getting a small piece of the pie, but most of the executives for these companies aren't necessarily Alaskan Natives themselves. And if there are Alaskan Native executives, they're getting a lot less than the non-ANC folks. And then on top of that, you know, the Post and others have reported extensively about how, you're right, they've acted as sort of pass-throughs or fronts for other larger companies who are just looking to exploit this little loophole. You know, they pass off some of the money to the ANCs, and then this larger company takes most of it. And that's gone on pretty commonly, really, for the past few years with little oversight.
Ed, we only have about 40 seconds left, but Senator McCaskill, give you any idea as to what her next steps will be?
She wants to look at this further. The companies in attendance really seem eager to talk about it again. She's got hearings scheduled through the end of the year, and I got to believe that, you know, considering the response she got, that there very well may be another conversation about it, and she'll consider some kind of legislation, talk it out with her colleagues, and move forward.